Today's shiur is Masech Tachol on Daf Samach Aleph. We will begin on Daf Samach Amid Beis, 19 lines from the bottom of the Amid, 3 words from the end of the line with the words Chamesha Sarnei Plishtim. At the end of yesterday's shiur, Rav Chizda had told Rav Tachlifa Baravina, Ksov Kenigi Ubalistri Babgadatech Upirsha. He said there are these, as Rashi explains, these interesting words that we discussed in yesterday's shiur, the hunter and the archer. And he told him, write it down in your agada and explain it. And the reason Rashi explains why we're going to bring the following gemara that we're starting with today concerning the Chamesha Sarnei Plishtim is because, again, Rav Chizda is going to tell Rav Tachlifa Baravina the same thing. Write a certain word, an interesting word, down in your agadita and explain it. So the Sefer Divrei Shaul from Hagoyin Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon explains what's going on here with writing this down with interesting words. So he explains as follows, that we know that there is a rule, Dvorim Shebaal Peh, Yatar Rishoyim L'Kaisra, that really all of Mishnah and all of Gemara was given the oral Torah. It wasn't supposed to be written down. And yet, Eis Lasis Lashem, Heferu Sayer Secha, Chazal saw that people were forgetting, and Chas V'Shalom, the whole Torah Shebaal Peh would have become forgotten. So because of this dire emergency, they said that we will write it down. But that would apply to halacha, which is needed on a daily basis. But agadita, which is not as essential as living by halacha, that one would say it's not such a emergency to write it down. So what Rav Chizda was telling with Rav Tachlifa Baravina, here we have a way of writing down the agadita because you're going to compile a dictionary of very unusual words and what their meanings are. And then that's what he told him. Write it down like in your dictionary and elaborate on it, and your elaboration will include what the Chazal used those words in the Agadita. And this way, in a roundabout way, you'll have a heter, you'll have a permission to write down the Agadita, which normally you wouldn't be able to do it. So that's the idea behind what Rav Chizda is telling Rav Tachlifa Baravina, and that's why we bring today's sugya, Chamesha Sarnei Plishtim, as a continuation of that instruction that Rav Chizda gave Rav Tachlifa in yesterday's shir. We're now going to focus on a pasuk in Yeshua, Perik Yud Gimel, pasuk Gimel, where the pasuk says, Chamesha Sarnei Plishtim, who were the 5 princes of the Plishtim, of which sections of the Plishti Empire. They were the Azasi, Hazasi, Vashdodi, Vashkeloni, Hagiti, Vakroni, Vohavim. There's only one problem. We said there's only 5. You count up, there's really 6. That's what the Gemara immediately asks. Omer Chamisha, V'chashav Shita. You told me there's 5 of the Sarni Plishtim, and then you enumerate 6. Omer Rabbi Yonason. So Rabbi Yonason responded, Aroinki Shalhan Chamisha. Aroinki means the ministers were only 5. In other words, the 6th one, the Avim, they were like a small little fiefdom. They weren't like a major power, and they didn't have a minister. They apparently were part of another section of the Plishtim. The Aruch here, the Mesar Shas brings down, instead of the word Aroniki, he has either Adundaki or Adonki, and it means masters. But again, the same idea. There's only 5 major ministers in the land of the Plishtim, and the Avim, the last one, the 6th one, does not count. So it comes out that the Avim are, according to this Mandiyomer, part of the Plishtim, but they're not a major part that they had their own minister. Amar le Rav Chizda le Rav Tachlifa Baravina. Here's the instruction again of Rav Chizda to Rav Tachlifa Baravina. Ksov Aronki. We have this interesting word, Aronki. Write it down, Bagadatech. Write it down in your, as we explained, from Rav Yosef Shaul Nadasen, write it down in your dictionary, which has words of the Agadita, Upirsha, and explain it, elaborate on it, and bring down in what context this word was used. And this will give you a permission to write Agada down, even though it's oral Torah, you'll have this permission to write it down. Now the Gemara says, Pliga de Rav. This statement of Rav Chisda concerning the Chamesha Sarni Plishtim, that they were considered part of the Plishtim, or what Rabbi Yonason just said, that Aroin Kishalahen is Chamisha, that is arguing on Rav. Why? The Amar Rav, Avim Mitaymon Bo. Rav says that the Avim were not from the Plishtim. As Rashi says, Taymon was a son of Alifaz, who was a son of Esav. So in other words, they come from Esav. They're not part of the Plishtim. So it's very good. You know why we only listed five Sarni Plishtim? Because the Avim were not Plishtim. They were from Esav. And that's why it's not listed. So we have a Machlaikis here, whether the Avim were Plishtim or they were from Taymon. Tanya Namihochi. We learned like this in the Bryce as well. Avim et Taymon Bo. They came from Taymon. And Rashi points out, and the Gemara is going to say it, they had a desire to follow the gods of the Plishtim. They left their own country and they came to live in Gaza amongst the Plishtim. And Lama Nikron Shimon Avin, why were they called Avin? The Gemara gives a number of pshatim. Either She'ivsu es Mekayman, they made a churban, like Muvis LaYuchel Esaken. They devastated their place. By leaving their own country, they caused that it became ruined and devastated. Dover Acher, Avim means we are Mechalef, an Aleph and an Ayin can be exchanged. So instead of Ayin, we say She'ivu, they had a taiva, they had a desire, Le'elohus Harbe, to serve many gods of the Plishtim. Dover Acher, Avim means She'kol Haroyoisim, whoever would see them, they were very ferocious people. Oichazosai avis. The Oroch says this was a certain sickness, and Rashi says it means they trembled. They, when you met up with somebody from this, from the Avim, they were trembling, and we'll soon see why people trembled. Amar Rabbi Yosef ve'islu, each one had shitzrei dorishina. He had 16 rows of teeth, l'chol chad v'chad, each one. This is probably an exaggeration, but the Maral explains they were cannibals. So therefore, anyone can understand that if you would see somebody from the Avim, you would get petrified. I'm next on the plate. They certainly brought out terror in, and they continue in Gaza to do that. Ara Yom Hazeh, they bring out trembling in people. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rab Shimon ben Lakish. Harbe mikrois sheru'uyin lisroif. There are many psukim de Torah which on a superficial glance, as Rashi explains, we would think that really they should be burnt. They shouldn't be part of the Torah. They seem to be inconsequential and really a bizoyan. It's an embarrassment to the Torah that these psukim are written there. But when you study it in more depth, the Hain Hain Gufei Torah. Actually, all of these recordings in the Torah that seem inconsequential are really teaching us very profound and important lessons. And now Rish Lakish, for the next few lines, is going to give us a number of examples of this concept. So the first one has to do with the Avim that we were just discussing. The Pasuk says, Va'avim ha'yoshivim b'chatserim ad azo. The Avim were sitting in Chatzerim until Aza, and then the Pasuk concludes that they were taken over by the Kaftorim. Kaftorim hishmidam v'yashvu tachteyan. That the Kaftor people, they defeated them, and they took over the place of the Avim. So the Gemara asks, my nafkala mina, what, the Torah is telling us this history of some Gentile people that one nation defeated the other nation. This is something that looks inconsequential, and why should it be written in the Torah? It should be burnt from the Torah. So the answer is as follows. No, there's an important lesson here. Mida Ashbe Avimelech Avram. Avimelech made Avram swear. And what was the shvua? Im tishkar liulininu lenechti, that you will not deal falsely with me or my son or my grandson. And at this time, when Klal Yisrael was taking the land over from the Avim, it was not yet after the grandsons of the Melech of the Plishtim. So they really had no right to take it away based on the shvua. They had a treaty. They couldn't breach the treaty. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, you are able to take it away. Why? Leisu kaftorim. Let the kaftorim come. V'lifku me'avim. They will take it away from the avim. Dehainu plishtim. This is going according to the man d'yomar that we learned before. Rabbi Yonason said that they were part of the plishtim. They were a small group in the plishtim who didn't have their own minister. That's why there's only five, not six. But they were considered plishtim. So the kaftorim would take it away from the plishtim, and then v'leis Yisrael lifku mekaftorim. Then the Klal Yisrael could come and take it away from the kaftorim. Once already, it was no longer in the possession of the avim, who were descendants of the plishtim. Then already, it could be taken over by Klal Yisrael. So that's the reason why the Torah had to tell us that the Kaftorim took it over, to make sure that we know that the Jews did not breach their treaty with the Plishtim. And Rashi tells us that there are many other examples, and Rashi quotes a few examples where we have a similar pattern, where one nation took it away from another nation, and that enabled Klal Yisrael to take it away from the second nation, even though they had no right to take it away from the first nation. And now in the Gemara itself, we're going to have an example of this. Ki yaitzu b'davar, similar to this, atoimer, we could say the same thing about the following pasuk. The pasuk says, ki cheshbon ir sichon melech amorihi, cheshbon was the city of Sichon, the king of the Amori, v'hu nilcham b'melech mayav. And he fought for the city of Cheshbon with the king of Moab. And the end of the pasuk says, "Vayikach es kol artzei miyodai ad Arnon," that he took away the entire land from the Melech Moab until Arnon. So again, my nafkemina. We have the same question. Why is the Torah telling this to us, which seems to be inconsequential, that Sichon Melech Hamori took away Cheshbon from Melech Moav? What is that nageh? Why is it written in the Torah? So the answer is, the Amr Lu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem said to the Jewish people, Al Teitzaras Moav. We are not allowed to besiege Moav. So we would not be allowed to directly take Cheshbon away from Moav. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Leisi Sichon, let Sichon come, Leifik Mimoyev, Sichon will take it away from Moav, and then Veleis Yisrov, Lifka Mesichon. Then Klal Yisrael is able, they have no Isser, Hashem only prohibited them to start up with Moav. Hashem didn't prohibit them to start up with Sichon. So Sichon Melech Amori would take it from Moav, and then the Jews would be able to take it away from Sichon. Behind the Dom Rapapa, this is what Rapapa said, Amonu Moav Tiaru B'Sichon, that Amon and Moav became tahor, they became permitted for the Jews to control and dominate that country because Sichon had made them tahor. By Sichon defeating Amon and Moav, and then the Jews were able to defeat Sichon, and they had no problem then taking it away from Amon and Moav. So Moav is what we just learned about Cheshbon was a city that Sichon had taken away from Melech Moav, and Rashi gives the source by Amon, we find a similar thing. Continues the Gemara. Another example by Rish Lakish of a pasuk that seems inconsequential and really shouldn't be in the Torah, and yet it's written there for a lesson. Tzidonim yikru lechermon Syria. The Tzidonim called the mountain of Hermon, Har Hermon, they called it Syria. The end of the pasuk says, Vo'amori yikru loy sneer. And the Amori called it sneer. So again, why do we have to know this? Who cares what the Goyim called they built? Rashi explains that on this mountain of Hermon was on the border between the Tzidonim and the Amori. And each nation built one city on one side of the mountain. So the Tzidonim called their city Sirion, and the Amori called it Sneer. Tana, we learned in a Brisa, Sneer v'Sirion mehori Eretz Yisrael. These were really names of mountains that were found in Eretz Yisrael. So the Goyim, when they built their cities on Hermon, they longed for the mountains of Eretz Yisrael, so they called their cities after the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. Melamed, shekol echad v'echad me'umis ha'olam. All of the Gentile countries, halachu banu le'krach gadol atzmi, went and built a big city for himself, v'heloloi al shem hori Eretz Yisrael. And he called that city by one of the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. So really, we only saw two examples of this. We saw a Sneer, and we saw Sirion. But from here, the Gemara is learning that this was a custom by all the nations of the world. Every nation had one city named after a mountain in Eretz Yisrael. Lula Metcha, this teaches you, Shafilu Hore Eretz Yisrael, Chavivin Alom Yisraelim, that the Goyim have a desire. We know today the Goyim have a desire for every inch of Eretz Yisrael. They won't give up one inch. Even the mountains, which don't have so many people living on the mountains, and there's not so much produce that is produced on the mountains, even the mountains, the Goyim want to have that, and that's why they named their cities after the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. Kiyoitzeboy, another example of this. Again, Rish Lakish is showing how things that seem to be inconsequential really have a lesson for us. This concerns Yosef. It says that Yosef started moving the Mitzrim around from one place to another. Vesa'am hever oisel arim. He took them from one city, moved them to another city. Ma'inaf gemina. Why does the Torah record what Yosef did with the inhabitants of the citizens of Egypt? Why do we care about that? No, there's a lesson here. Deloy likri la'echov galvasa. He didn't want his brothers to be called refugees. As Rashi says, that the Mitzrim would call them goylim b'nei goylim. You're refugees, the sons, the descendants of refugees. You've always been strangers in our land. He didn't want his family. He was sensitive to name-calling against his family. So he started moving all the Egyptians around. So there's no Egyptian who could say to the Jewish people, you are Gerim in our land, because the Egyptian himself was a Ger. This was not where he was originally from. He was moved around, and he did it out of sensitivity to his brothers. And now we go back to explain the Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah said, Simani Yo'if Loi Nemru, the simonim of a behemah are written in the Torah. The simonim of birds are not written in the Torah. It's the Chachamim who told us the four simonim that we had in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Ask the Gemara, V'loi, is that so? Is that true? That the simonim of the Oif are not written in the Torah? I'll bring you a brisa to show you that they are written in the Torah. Vatanya, we learned in a brisa, Nesher, the Torah tells us one of the 24 birds that are tamei is the eagle, as we turn to Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. So we learn from a Nesher the following. Ma Nesher miyuchad, just like a Nesher is special. She'ein lo etzba yisera, a Nesher has none of the four simonim which would make a bird kosher. It does not have an Etzbi Yisera. What does Etzbi Yisera mean? We learned already on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Rashi says that Etzbi Yisera is a, let's say the bird has three fingers in the, three toes in the front. It has one toe in the back, which is on top, on a higher level than the three in the front, and it's facing in the opposite direction. That's Etzbi Yisera. The run learns the pshat that the middle front finger is longer than the other two fingers on either side. So a Nesher does not have an Etzbi Yisera. A Nesher does not have Vizefek. It doesn't have a crop. The crop is where the food in a chicken, for example, which does have a Vizefek, where the food stays until it's brought to the gizzard, to the kurkavin, to be ground down and digested. So a eagle does not have a zephic, a chicken does have a zephic. The ein kurkavonai niklav, the gizzard is not peelable, as we learned. There's an outside hard muscle, and inside there's like a latex type of membrane which can be peeled off. And in fact, the way we learned it has to be peeled off is with your hand. It's easily removed. The inner lining of the curcumin is removed from the outer muscle of the curcumin. So a nesher does not have this. Its curcumin is not niklaf biyad. And v'doreis v'ochel. The nesher is a doreis. And we learned on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph various pshatim in doreis. Tosus here, Divrei HaMaskal HaDoreis, the third Tosus on the Daf, brings down Rashi on Daf Nun Tes, She'olcheis b'tziporna v'magbiyam in a karka masha'oichel, that with its claws, it picks up from the ground to eat. That's a Doreis. The Rabbeinu Tam, as we mentioned in the Shir on Daf Nun Tes, does not like this pshat of Rashi, because he says, Do'afilu tarna goylus oisekein. Even a chicken, which everyone accepts as a kosher bird, does the same thing. That cannot be the definition of doris. We pointed out that Rashi on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMaskal V'Hani Mili D'Loi Doris, says, and I'll quote, Venerally, my opinion, says Rashi, Shekol Oif HaNoisen Rag Loi Ala Oichel, any bird that puts his foot on the food, kishu oichle, when he's eating it, umachzika baragli, he holds it with his foot down, shalo yonid, it should not move around, velo yonato kule etzopiv, and it should not all come to his mouth, hu drisa, that's called doris. If it holds its foot down on the food, as it's pecking away, so that when it's pecking away, it doesn't take all the food up to its mouth at one time, that's a doris. The Rabbeinu Tam does not like the pshat of Rashi, and Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, doris v'ochel mechayim. He eats up his prey alive, ve'enu mamtin l'chatam, he doesn't wait until it dies. As we spoke of then, it doesn't mean that a duck would be a doris because it eats the goldfish up, swallows it up alive. It's rather, that's not the criterion, but rather it's a piece of a living animal which it rips off while it's still alive. That is called a doris, not something that it swallows up whole. That would not make it into a doris. Now, Rabbeinu Gershon, we spoke out on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, says that it doesn't let something flying in the air land. It will grab it in midair and eat it. That is a doris. So the eagle is a doris, and therefore it is one of the simonim that the eagle is a tomei, a non-kosher bird. And therefore it says, the doris v'ochel, the din is, just like a nesher is tomei, af kol kiyotze by tomei, any other bird which is similar to a nesher, it has these four simonim that it's tomei, it remains tomei. So Rashi here, let's learn the Rashi quickly inside because he says a lot of important points. The first Rashi on the Amid, Nesher, Husker b'tmeim, it's mentioned by the Tmeim, v'donim binyan av heimenu, and we learn a binyan av, we learn whatever the din is by a Nesher, that will be the din by other birds as well. Dema Nesher miyucha de'ein loy echad mikol ha'simanim alalu v'tamei, just like a bird, a Nesher, doesn't have any of the four characteristics which would make it tahar. In fact, it has all the characteristics that make it tamei. Af kol she'ein lo echad mikol ha'simanim alalu min nesherhu. Rashi says that if you find a bird that has four simanim that it's tamei, it is the tamei. Why? Because it's a type. It must be a type of eagle. Why? We'll soon see why it has to be. Maybe it's one of the other 23. Why an eagle? We'll see in a moment. Says Rashi, Aval of sheyesh by echad mikol elu tohar. If a bird has one of the simonim, it has a law, etzbi yaseira, it has a zephik, it's tohar. V'kol shchen shnayim or shloisha, oy kulam. If it has two or three or four, then it's certainly a tohar bird. Chutz, mi oifoy samu ferushes beparsha. Except for the 23 others that are written in the parsha, shezeris hakosafu, as we're going to learn, even though these 23 have, the Nesher has no Simoni Tara. The other 23 have at least one Simon Tara. Some have two, some have three. But the din is tmeyim. The high af loimi boy elamin nesher. When the Gemara says here, just like a nesher has four simonim on its tummy, so too any other bird that has four simonim on its tummy, says Rashi, you know what it means? Its tummy. It's a type of nesher. Why? The ain oif tummy boilam elochavdal. You only have 24 to begin with, as he brings from the Gemara in Daf Samach Gimel. And we'll jump down two lines. Ubahane chav dalit amrinin de ein bu bekula simone tyra chutzman an nesher, except for the nesher. What's Rashi saying here? Rashi's saying that if you find a bird that has four simonim that it's tamei, then it cannot be one of the 23. Rashi's opinion is that there are only 24 listed in the Torah, and there are no more than 24. Those are the only birds in the world that are tamei. Everything, if we would know the identity of those 24, we'd be able to eat any other bird in the world, because only those that has at least one siman tahara, because those are only the 24 are tummy. So if I find a bird that has no simanim, so what is it? Is it one of the 23? No, because one of the 23 has at least one, or maybe two, or maybe three simanim of tahara. And it's still tummy, those one, two or three. The other 23 are tame in spite of the fact that they have one or two or three simani tahara. So this bird has no simani tahara. So what is it? It's not one of those 23 because this has no simani. And there can't be more than 24. Therefore, I come to the only conclusion, says Rashi, that this must be a type of nesher, a type of eagle. However, Tosfos in Divrei HaMashal, Man Nesher disagrees. And if you can see on the fifth line, he says, Hachi Kamar. Tosfos' opinion is that you can have more than 24. You could find another bird that doesn't have four simonim. And it's not a type of a nesher, not like Rashi says. It's whatever the name of that bird that has all four simonim, it has nothing to do with the eagle family. It is a... the Torah said only these 24. The Torah just gave you examples that if you study the anatomy of these 24 birds, you, as we're going to see in a moment, you'll begin to realize that this one has one simantara, this one has two, this one has three, and you'll find a bird like the tor, the turtle dove, as we're going to learn in a moment, that has four simani of tahara. So the Hashem just identify 24 birds to give you a practical lesson in knowing which birds have what simanim, and that you'll be able to paskin whether a bird is kosher or not. But not to tell me these are the only 24 and there's no more. So the bottom line is comes out that a bird that had four simanim of tumah would be tame. The Rashi says it would be a kind of eagle. Tosfos says no. It'll be a 25th, a 26th. You can have more than 24. Okay, now let's go to Torin. And the Gemara says, let's take a turtle dove. Sheyesh lehen, it has etz b'yisera. V'zefek, v'kurkava niklav, v'ein darsim v'aychla. Ah, tahirin. So just like we see by a Torah, that it's tahar, af kol kiyotz ben tahirin. If you have anything like that, that has four simonim, it's tahar. So Rashi immediately points out that we have a contradiction between the Reisha and the Seifa. From the Reisha, it says that in order to be Tomei, you need four. And as Rashi said, but let's say you have one, two, or three, it's Tahar, except if they're one of the 24 listed in the Torah. So if somebody brings a bird, and I know it's not one of, if I would know that it's not one of the 24, and it has one simon, or two, or three, I could eat it, but if you look at the Seifa, it says not like that. By a Torah, you have to have four simonim of Tahara. If you only have three or two or one, you cannot eat it. So Rashi says, which diuk, which way to analyze it is more accurate, says Rashi, we're going to see it in the Gemara, the Reisha is the Dafka. The Reisha is the one that we have to make the deduction from. That what? That it's only Tame with four simonim. If it has less than four simonim of Tuma, it has one simon of Tahara, and certainly two and certainly three, it is considered a Tohar bird. Why does it say that Seifa? If so, why did the Torah tell me that Tor has four simonim? You don't need four simonim. One, two, or three is also good. as long as it's not one of the 24. At the end of today's shir, we will find out, the Gemara is going to ask this question and give us the answer, why did Torah have to tell us? But it comes out, our main focus is on the Nesher, that it has four simonim of Tumah. Anything less than four simonim of Tumah will be Tohar. Amar Abaya, says Abaya, so Abaya is coming to give a teretz here. Let's focus on the Kasha. The Kasha was, you said in the Mishnah that the birds, the simonim of birds, are not listed in the Torah. What do you mean? We just went through the comparison between what? Between an eagle and a turtle dove. We saw that the eagle has four simonim of Tumah. We saw that the dove has four simonim of Tara. It is Tohar. So the Torah does tell us the simonim. Why do you say not? Amar Abaya, lo nemar pirushan midivrei Torah ela midivrei Sofer. The Torah doesn't explicitly say the simonim. It was Chazal with their research. By comparing a bird that's Tomei to a bird that's Tor, they came up by the anatomy that they could see that there are four differences between these two birds. So that deduction, that's called that it's not Minatora. That was deduced by the Rabbanon. Tani Rabchiya, Oif Abob Siman Echotor. If somebody comes with a bird, which is not one of the 24, and it has one simon, it's kosher. Lefishein darmel nesher. It's not like an eagle. Nesher de less like klal, hu de lo teichel. A nesher which has no simonim, that's what you could eat. Ha, ikka. But if there's a bird that has a simon, if there's a bird de islechad, that it has one simon, teichel, you're allowed to eat it. So this is what we spoke of before, that the main deduction is not from the seif of Torim. The main deduction is from the ratio. It's all, in order to be Tomei, it has to have four of Tumah. If it has even one of Tahara, it is Tor. Ask the Gemara immediately, V'leil of Metorin, why do you deduce the main deduction? From the ratio, make an inference from the sefer, from Torim. And what will the inference be? Ma Torim de'ikakulo arbo, just like a turtle dove has all four simoni tahara, afachinami ad'ikakulo arbo, so maybe I need to make a Tor, I need four of tahara, and if you'll have one, two, or three, it will not be Tor, it'll be Tomei. Answers the Gemara, im kain, if so, Sharoi fois temein, the kasa rachmana lomali. Why did the Torah mention, write, the other 23 birds that are tame? As the Maram Shif explains, Nesher, I have to write. Because Nesher has all four simonim, which are tame. That, of course, I would need as a comparison to the Tor, which are four simonim of Tahara. Those are the key birds which we compare one to the other. However, Sharoi fois temein, the other 23, which don't have four simonim of Tumah, they have either one, two, or three simonim of Tahara. Why did the Torah have to write that? If you have Tor, you could figure out all the rest. You have a bird that has one simon, but Tor requires four simonim. It's not good. You have a bird that has three simonim, but Tor requires four simonim. This bird is no good. Why did the Torah write all those birds? The answer is because the main limud is from Nesher, that it's only Tomei if you have four of Tumah. And if you have less than four, if you have one, two, or three of Tahara, it's Kosher. That's why the Torah had to write that these 24 are an exception to the rule. The normal rule is one, two, or three of Tahara is a Kosher bird. However, I'm going to give you a list of 23 birds that have either one, two, or three. Rashi points out that we're going to see it on Amud Beis, that there are 20 birds that have three simonim. The Orev, the raven, has two simonim. And then you have the Peres and the Oznia, which each one has one simon of Tahara. But if the main limit would be Tor, that you need all four simonim, then the Torah wouldn't have to write that these are Tomei. Must be that if you have one, two, or three simonim, it's Tor, and these 23 had to be written that even though they have one, two, or three, they're still Tomei. Ask the Gemara, okay, now that you've established why we have Nesher, you've established that the Torah had to write one, two, or three, that these particular 23 are tame. But now let's learn out from those one, two, or three. V'nelef minayu. Let's learn out, for example, from the bird that has three simanim of tahara. And we could make the following limit. Ma hasim tlos of loyachilnon. Just like over there, if it has three simanim, the Torah says you can't eat it. I've called tlos of loynechel. Anything that has three simanim, you can't eat. V'kol shekhen trei v'chad. And certainly if it would only have two or one, you can't eat it. So now that the Torah wrote that a bird of three is not a kosher bird, even with three simanim tahara, let that be. Why are you making a binyan av from Torah? That you're making a binyan av from Nesher. That it's only Tamei if it has all four, but if it has one Siman of Tahara, even one, it's Tar. Why don't you make a binyanav from those birds that have three Simanim, and yet you find that they're Tamei? The answer is, Imkain, O Rav the Kasa Rechaman, Ulamali, why did the Tar have to specify as one of the 24 birds an O Rav? We would know that the orev is not a kosher bird. Hashda de islay tlos aloy achilnon, de islay trei meboya. If you can't eat a bird that has three simanim, the orev, we know a raven only has two simanim, so you certainly can't eat it. What was the necessity of writing it? Must be that you cannot learn out from three simanim that you're not allowed to eat a bird of three simanim. The birds that have three simanim in the Torah that are tameh, they are exceptions to the rule. Normally, if it has three simanim, it's kosher. It's only those birds that are written beferish in the Torah that are tameh. Because otherwise, if it was a rule that if you don't have four simanim of tahara, like a tor, you only have three, it's tameh, then certainly I don't have to tell you about a raven that only has two is tameh. As we turn to Daf, Samach Aleph, Amid Beis, ask the Gemara, okay, V'leilef Moirev. Okay, you had to write Orev. So now I have the same question on Orev. Why don't you learn out from Orev? Ma hasn trei loy. I've called trei loy. Let's learn out from Orev that Orev has two simanim and still tamei. So anything has only two simanim of tahara is tamei. So the Gemara answers him, Cain, Paris was Nia, the Kasa Rechaman Olamali. Why did the Torah specify Paris and Nia? They only have one simon. I would make a Kavachimer. Hashda de Islay Trey Leachlinen. If you're going to use the Orev as a Malame to teach you that something that has two simonim is Tamei, so why does the Torah write as part of the 24 birds Paris and Nia, which only have one? If two can't be eaten by an Orev, if it only has one, you have to write that, of course. So by the fact that the Torah wrote Paris Vaznia, that is a proof that the Orev, which has two and is Tamei, is not a Malamate. It's not teaching you on anything else. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to write Paris Vaznia. Ask the Gemara, I have one final question. V'nigmar me Paris Vaznia. So maybe, in fact, we should learn from Paris Vaznia that even if you have one simon of tahara, if you have one simon of tahara, it's not a kosher bird, just like Paris Nazniya. Answers the Gemara, in Cain, Nesher de Kasa Rechaman Olamali. Why do you have to write Nesher? The Torah should have written Paris Vaznia, and I would say, Hashta de Isle Chad lo Yachlinen, de Lesle Klal Meboya. If one is not good enough, so certainly zero is not good enough. A Nesher has zero simanim. So we would know for sure. Elamai, the fact that the Torah wrote Paris Vaznia, is not a Malamet. It does not teach us for any other bird that has one simon. So I would say that it doesn't teach us, and it does not teach us that one bird was Usser. Because if it was Usser, I wouldn't need Nesher. So now, Ella, we conclude, Nesher, the Lesley, Klalhu Deloitechol. Here's the conclusion. The Nesher is the Malame. That's the teacher. The Nesher has no simonim, then you can't eat it. Ha, the Isleichad Achoil. But if it has one simon, you could eat it. Says the Gemara, it comes out from what we just learned, that the reason the Torah said Nesher is because if it wouldn't say Nesher, I would have learned it out from Peres and Osnia. I would learn out from Paris and Aznia that I would have learned out from Paris and Aznia that something that has no simani tahara is for sure tame. The ela time it because of Rachman and Nesher. The reason I can learn it out is because the Torah wrote the word Nesher. Ha lav hachi. If the Torah would not have written the word Nesher, hava mina, I would have thought, leila fi peres vaznia, let's learn out from peres vaznia that one simon doesn't help, and for sure zero simonim doesn't help. So the answer is that peres vaznia are not teaching me anything. Because if they would be teaching me, then I don't need Nesher. If one is no good, for sure zero is no good. So it must be that peres vaznia are not teaching me anything. So ask the Gemara, if it would not have said Nesher, then you would have said that Paris and Aznia is a teacher. The Gemara asks, how could it be a teacher? Havale Paris Vaznia, Shnei Ksuma Bom Kechad, U Shnei Ksuma Bom Kechad, Emelamdim. We have a rule that whenever the Torah says something twice, it means to say it's only those two things that have this rule and nothing else. Because if we were to learn it out from one, let the Torah only write one. By the fact that the Torah writes two, it indicates that only these two have this halacha. So what are you telling me that it said Nesher? And if it would not have said Nesher, then I would have been able to learn out from Paris and Aznia. But that's not true. You could not have learned it out from Paris and Aznia because we have a rule, Shnei Ksuma Bom Gachad Eim Alamdim. So the Gemara answers, no. Gemiri, we have a tradition, a Kabbalah, the Ikka Bahai Leka Bahai. The simon that the Paris has, the Aznia doesn't have. The simon that the Aznia has, the Paris doesn't have. So Rashi explains that therefore it's not considered Shnei Ksuma Bom Ke'echad, Shnei Ksuma Bom Ke'echad means the Torah is telling me the same idea by two halachas. Here it's not the same idea. Why? If the Torah would only tell me Paris, I would say that the simon that a Paris has is an inferior simon, and that's why it's not kosher. I wouldn't know Aznia. I would say Aznia's one simon is a better simon. If the Torah would tell me Aznia, I would say the reverse, that the Aznia simon is inferior, but the Paris one simon is better. So that's why the Torah had to tell you both Paris and Aznia, to teach you that both of these simonim, each one is different than the other, they're both not good. So if it wouldn't have been for Nesher, I would have said that Paris and Aznia is melamed, that one simon is not good. So that's why the Torah wrote Nesher, no, don't learn out from Paris and Aznia, learn out from Nesher that only four simonim is Tmeya. If it doesn't have four simonim, if it has even one simon of Tahara, it would be kosher. Ask the Gemara, Michti, Esrim varbo oifus Tmeya, there are 24 birds that are Tamei. Whatever, we don't know what the one, we don't know what a Paris is, what is an Aznia exactly. But what, you're telling me you have a rule that the one simon that a Paris has, an Aznia doesn't have. The one simon an Aznia has, a Paris doesn't have. But amongst the 23 other birds who all have simone tahara, and they're still Tameh, but they all have Simoni Tahara, it's impossible that they don't duplicate the one Simon that a Paris has and the one Simon that an Aznia has. So if so, I have again Shnei Ksuv Mabom Kachar Ein Melamdin. Yev Shadika Bahanach Lek Bahani. Vahavalahu Shnei Ksuv Mabom Kachar. So again I have Shnei Ksuv Mabom Kachar. Now, what are you telling me I need Nesher? Because without Nesher, I would have learned from Paris and Aznia. No, I wouldn't have learned from Paris and Aznia because Paris and Aznia have a partner amongst one of the 23 other birds. So that makes it again a Shnei Ksuma Bom Kachad. The Gemara says, no, Gemiri, we have a tradition. Esrim Varbo Oifus Tmeim Havi. There are 24 Tamei birds. Varbo Simonim. That there are a total of four Tohar Simonim. Tlosa, there are three of the four Torah Simonim, Hadri Bekulo, circulate amongst all the other 23. The Nesher has nothing. But amongst all the other 23, three of the four Simoni Tahara circulate. What does it mean they circulate? Esrim Mehem Shloisha Shloisha. 20 of the 23, in fact, have 3 of the 4. Trey, 2 of the 3 that are circulating, is Baal Rav, a raven has it. Chad b'Paris v'chad b'Aznia. There's one in the Paris and one in the Aznia. The Isa b'ha, lesa b'ha. Whatever the Paris has, the Aznia doesn't have. Whatever the Aznia has, the Paris doesn't have. As Rashi explains, we're talking about 3, but there's actually 4 simonim. So it comes out like this. 20 have 3 of the 4. The raven, the orev, has 2 of those 3 that circulate. Either the Paris or the Aznia, we don't know which one, has 1 of the 3 that circulate. But what does the other one have? The other one has the 4th one that doesn't circulate amongst any of the birds. It alone has the 4th one. So now, Ma'udah save Malaylef Mina. I would have thought without the word Nesher that we would have learned that. You had a question. It's impossible that these simonim are not duplicated. You're right. 3 of the 4 are duplicated. But there's 1 of the 4 that either the Paris has or the Aznia has. Therefore, if a bird comes in front of us, if it's the one simon that's duplicated, I wouldn't learn out. But if it's the one simon that's not duplicated, then that could teach me that just like, let's say the Paris has the one simon that's not duplicated. I could say, just like the Paris is Tomei, the bird that's in front of me is also Tomei. And since I don't know the answer, I'll always have to be Machmer. Maybe this bird has that 1/4 Simon, which is distinguished, it's only by either the Paris or the Aznia, and therefore I'll have to be Machmer. That's what I would have thought without Nesher. Katsar Rachman and Nesher, that what? Nesher, the less like Klal, who the less like Nesher has no simonim, don't eat it. Ha'ikha, if you have a bird, the Islachad, it has 1 of the 4 simonim, Achoil, that's why I do need a Nesher. Now that we've straightened that all out, we have one final question, and that is, El Torah in the Kasher Rachman Alamali. Why did the Torah have to write, turtle doves are kosher, because they have 4 simonim? Of course they're kosher. Because, you don't need, even if you have 1 simon, we're learning it's kosher. Unless it's 1 of the 24 that's the Tomei. But a regular bird with 1 simon, we're gonna learn out from where? From Nesher, that 1 simon is kosher. It's only if you have 4 simone tumma that it's straight. So what did the Torah have to write Torah? And I don't learn anything out from Torah. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Vogel Bar Chama, le korban, ein echanami. It's trying to tell you that of all the birds that are kosher that you're allowed to eat, you're not allowed to bring on the Mizbeach something that a human being can't eat, that's treif. So you would have thought I could bring a chicken on the Mizbeach, it's kosher. So the Torah tells you, no, Tyrin, the one that has 4 simonim, and these are the definitions of the 4 simonim of a turtle dove, and also the Bnei Yoina, which is written in the Torah, these 4 simonim are enabling the Torah to be brought as a korban, as opposed to other kosher birds which you can eat, but you cannot bring it as a korban. So Rashi points out, so what did the Gemara mean on Amud Aleph, that Ma Torah has 4 simonim, Af Kol Ki Yoytz Ben Torah? You're telling me now it's about a korban, but the Braisa on Amud Aleph seems to say that it's 4 simonim that you could eat, not for a korban. So Rashi answers that this was just a pedagogic way of the teacher telling his Talmud, listen, I want you to remember the 4 simonim. If you remember a Nesher, and you remember a Tor, and you know the difference between the two, that a Nesher has 4 simonim of Tmeya, and the Tor has the exact 4 simonim of Tahara, so then you'll know what are the simonim that makes the bird Tamei or Tor. But in fact, 1 simon is alone enough. I'm just bringing that not to teach you that you need 4 simonim like a Tor. Even less than 4 simonim is kosher. The main limit, as we said, is from the ratio, from Nesher. It only Tamei if it has 4 simonim of Tumah. I'm just giving you this comparison. This will make it sink into your mind that what are the 4 simonim that we always have to evaluate whether an oaf is kosher or not? That is the difference between a nesher and a torah.